Hello there. Welcome to today's podcast with Pastor Bless Donkor. I hope you'll be blessed. Stay tuned.
As the custom is, we want to take our anchor scriptures as we read the book of Acts chapter 1 verse 4 to 8 as our anchor scripture. Acts chapter 1 verse 4 to 8, the book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" And he said to them, "It is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witness. You shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth." Our second reading is the book of Luke chapter 11 verse 20 to 22. "But if I cast out demons with the finger of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. When a strong man fully armed guard his own place, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he comes upon him and overcomes him, he takes from him all his armor in which he trusted and devised his spoil." Last reading that we are all going to read together, Ephesians chapter 6 verse 10. Should we even project? I think we all know it. Shall we go? "Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his..." One more time. Hallelujah. It pleases the Lord that we should still continue in the matter of the anointing. "As thou anointed." And today is the continuation of what we started last week. "You shall receive power." And today we are taking the final or the last part of it. Then we would bring the curtains to the end on the sub-series concerning the anointing. Our next series or the next sub-series is titled "Another Measure, Another 1,000. That is our next sub-series we'll be looking concerning the anointing. So we are bringing to an end today the sub-series concerning the anointing. So I believe that we have foundationally been grounded on the concept of anointing. Have we? So let's look at "You shall receive power." To help us appreciate today's message, let's do a quick recap last week. So last week, we were trying to see if we could diagnose people who are victims of power, conduit of power, right? What were the three things that I mentioned as a way to find out that somebody can be a conduit of power? Yes, help me. I mentioned certain things. What are some of the evidence that such a person or an individual can be a tool for the demonstration of God's power, a medium of demonstration of God's power? Please, can anybody help me? One, the message was posted, so I believe that if you're not in church, you should still have an... Yes, okay. Microphone. And our reaction was of Mami Sarah, so... You know, you and I, we are still... Hallelujah. So, Francois, yes, please.
Baptism of the Holy Spirit.
The baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Number two, who else? Okay.
The zeal for ministry.
Okay. Last one. Also for Elvis. So that doesn't look like we are being gender biased. Please give it to us for Elvis. Now, later thing they want to just see you for gender issues. So
the third one was enhancement in the believer's spiritual faculties and systems.
The third one is on enhancement of the believer's what, spiritual faculty and what, systems. So I said, if you are able to, if we are able to see these three traits in you, it means that you are a conduit of what, for power. We can see the manifestations of the power of God. And we did five comparisons, or we had 5 points to compare the anointing as in of the Holy Spirit and anointing as of power. Do you remember those five comparisons? When we know that this anointing is the presence and this anointing is the power. Do you remember that five comparisons? I just need three. Three. Yes, what was one of the comparisons? Yes, please. Oh, I should say it myself. Okay, Francel. Thank you. Francel, yeah, you're doing well.
Comparison is that the presence of God is a 24-hour service.
Okay.
And the power of God comes when there is a demand.
Okay. Thank you. So we found out that as for God's presence, it's a 24-hour something, but the power is when there is what? Demand. So what there, if there is no demand, there is no release. So there is no access. Okay. Number two. Second one. Hey. Hallelujah. What is the second one? This is the point where pastor will call names. All right. Let me move on to today's message. I don't know how you must show. You see? You know, it's a teaching service. Okay? So, you should expect that one day I can just ask you a question. It's a teaching service. Sunday is a teaching service. Are we all there? So Sunday is a teaching service. So number one, I mentioned five things. I don't think I'll have much time to go into them. But number one is that the Holy Spirit is as a representation of God's anointing stand for the presence of God, which is divine nature and his attributes. That helps us to establish communion with God. But the power, on the other hand, has an anointing or is the ability God gives us. So the presence, or that the Holy Ghost is his presence and his nature. The power is the ability God has what, given us. So when it comes to the matter of ability, it has to do with what? The power. When it comes to the matter of his nature and his attribute being manifested in us, it has to do with what? His presence. Are we there? Another thing I said was that the presence is very difficult to detect when it comes, but the power is very noisy. So the presence of God comes very subtle, but when it comes to the power, there is very noisy. So the power of God is not something that comes and hides itself. It's very evident, but the presence can be there and you will not even know. Hallelujah. So let's move into today's message. Today's message is going to focus on just one thing, and that one thing is that we find out that when we are looking at the matter of power, we find out that there were three sources of power. Although God is the one who owns every power, we find out that there are other two ways by which power is attained. Do you remember that? Two ways. We found out that we can attain power through the what we call the latent power from the soul of man and that of what? The devil. And but all these two sources of power was given by God. Now the question is, why is God still giving power or giving ability to men when men have proven that they can abuse power, they can misuse power, they can even underuse power or corrupt power? The devil corrupted it, man corrupted his own. Why is it that God is still giving power? Why is God so interested that every given time he will give men ability to do things? And this is what we are going to look at today. Hallelujah. So when I was thinking about this whole matter of power, and I believe that when we are done today, each of us here will understand the essence of why we should walk in power. Power is non-negotiable. As I said, I've laid some foundations about the concept of power in my previous series that we did, Communion of the Holy Spirit. So you can go and you find out that I've really talked about why power is a non-negotiable tool. But today I want to let you know why God said, ye shall receive power. Because when Jesus was talking about ye shall receive power, some people were already given power who abused it, who misused it, who underused it. But God said, still, you shall still what? Receive power. Why is God still interested in the concept of power? Now, when I was looking at this, there were three strong scriptures that I found in scripture that really convinced me about why God still gives power. And these three strong scriptures also present to us the three strong views or three strong reasons why God still gives power. Now, what I'm talking about has nothing to do with the purpose of anointing. I'm talking about why God still gives us power, gives men the ability to what to do. But when we look at the purpose of anointing, and when I talk of anointing, you should know it's not only about power. We're talking about both presence and what power. So this one, I'm singling out what power to talk about why God still gives us his ability. Now, the first scripture that stands out for me is in the book of Acts chapter 1 verse 4 to 8, which we read. And God was still promising power over them. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, ye have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days from now. And in the verse 8, he explained this baptism, that you shall receive power after this baptism has what? Have effects on you. So the first thing I saw was this scripture over here. But the verse, and then he interprets what the verse 8 interprets, what that reason of the power comes with. We'll go there, number one, okay? So that first scripture that I saw gave me the idea of representation. God still gives power because of the principle of what? Representation. And that is in verse 8. And you shall be my what? Witness. So the idea of what? Representation. Number two, the second one I found was in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 20. Can we even start from? Go back. Go. Yeah, let's stay here. Verse 18 is okay. 18 to 20. Now, some are puffed up as though I were not coming to you. Verse 19. But I will come to you shortly if the Lord wills, and I will know not the word of those who are puffed up, but the power. Verse 20. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. And this one also established what I called the principle of genuineness. God still gives power on the verdict of what? Genuineness. And the last one is Ephesians chapter 6 verse 10 to 11. Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And the third reason why I see God gives power is the matter of warfare. The matter of what? Warfare. So keep these three things in your head. The principle of representation, the principle of genuineness, and the matter of what? Warfare was three outstanding scriptures I found in the Bible, especially in the New Testament, that convinced me why God still gives power. Now let's look at the matter of representation. Now the matter of representation is built on the fact that for every man or every being that lives, one character of what we believe, or one character of the principle of belief, is that it automatically confers representation on you. The proof of what you believe lies in how best you represent that belief. Thus, your way of life is not far from what you believe. Follow how I'm laying this principle. The moment you decide to believe in something, it automatically confers the principle of what? Representation on you. Because that what you believe, you must be able to what? Represent that very thing that you believe. Now, there is this interesting scripture I found in the book of Numbers chapter 13. Verse 31 to 33. What led to God wiping an entire generation who are 20 years and above was on the matter of what? Representation. Follow me. But the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. This is what they believe. And all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. Then we saw the giant, the descendants of Anak, come came from the giant and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight. Not in the sight of the people who saw them, in their own what? Representation. And so we were in their hearts. So first of all, they saw themselves as grasshoppers. And then the way they represented themselves to the giant of Anak, they also saw them that way. Believe. See how very powerful it is? They saw themselves as grasshoppers. And that led them to becoming what grasshoppers in the sight of the people. So if they had believed that they were not grasshoppers, those who saw them, who they think that they are men of stature, would have also seen them the way. Are you following what I'm saying? So the moment you believe in something, or the moment you take a stand that this is how I see things, you have already conferred on yourself the principle of what? Representation. Your values, your philosophy, behavior pattern, etc., reveals what you believe. That's making you a representation, a witness, or evidence of your belief. Now, I don't need to ask you what you believe. All I need to do is to study your patterns of behavior. Study your ideologies. Study the manner in which you do things. Then I know what you believe. Because you're representing it. Are you following me? So you don't ask people what you believe. Study them. Then you know what they believe. So now that is the reality of belief. So the moment I want to know that you believe in something, I just have to look at what you do. Because you represent what you believe. Okay. Now, what is the purpose of representation? The purpose of representation is to advance what you believe by making others to believe what you believe. And this is only possible when you have the ability to advance it. Follow me very well. The reason why you are living the life you are living, the reason why you are confessing what you are confessing, your ideas, your philosophy, the reason why it is so, because number one, the purpose is that you want others to believe it. Two of us. Oh, is that not it? You want others to what? To believe in what you believe. And for that, you have to represent it to all. So if you believe in purity, you must live it. You must let others see it. And then you are able to tell them that this is what I believe in. That's why I said you are not far from whatever you believe. You are a presentation of it. However, before you can be able to advance this course of belief, you need an ability. Do you know that? This matter of representation is so important that every religion or movement that seeks to advance, first of all, targets the corridors of power. Check it. Do you know why LGBT? Do you know why? Okay. There are certain religion that has advanced through this means. They have a belief. Okay, let me give an example. How many of you know of Islam? We have all done this in RME. So don't act as if you don't know what I'm talking about. You know that Muhammad believed in certain things, and the place he was born, they didn't believe in it, so he was chased out. Then he went to a place who accepted him and made him a leader. And the moment he got hold of power, he advanced his cause. That's how Islam started spreading. So if he had not gotten hold of power, that is why Jesus restricted them. In the book of Acts chapter 1, verse 4, Jesus said to them that, wait until the power of the Spirit from what? On high comes upon you. Then in verse 8, you can now be my heart, my witness. Before Acts chapter 1, verse 4, these are people who have had 2 years or 2.5 years of active training. And these people Jesus was talking about, they were called disciples. Means that they have been discipled by him. But he told them that whatever you have come to believe, that I've taught you, that you have come to accept, you can do nothing to represent me unless there is power backing. So the reason why God still releases power is because irrespective of what we believe, irrespective of how we want to represent it, without any power backing it, we will not go anywhere. We will not go anywhere. No religion, no movement, no movement or agenda has been able to advance its cause without power. Now, we are in the fear that if we should legalize or we should pass a bill called family rights or family what? What is the name of that bill? Is it family rights values or AKA anti what? LGBT what bill? We are in the fear as a nation that we will attract the anger and the punishment of certain class of people we believe have financial power to deal with us. Imagine they don't have it. They can't advance their cause. So in as much as you believe in something, as you sit here, and you want to, you are representing what you believe, there is nothing you can do if you don't have power to advance it. That's why God will give us financial power. Oh, you don't say amen. You see, there are many things that I believe that if we had the financial power as a church, we would have done. There are many things. That's why the devil is doing everything to make sure that he doesn't give the believer. So, God is still giving us power on the matter of representation. We cannot represent what we believe. We cannot be witnesses if there is no power. So, you find out that some through military power, financial power, political power are able to take hold of a place and turn it upside down. Let's read a scripture that is very interesting in the book of Acts chapter 17 verse 4 to 7. Acts 17 verse 4 to 7. Watch. This is Paul's narration. Watch. And some of them were persuaded. An incident happened. Paul and Silas went to a place. You remember Acts chapter 16 verse 16. They didn't stop over there. This gentleman went ahead to go and cause more problems. So look at what happened. When they caused a problem and the city was in uproar, this is what they did. Acts chapter 17. Okay. And some of them were persuaded, and a great multitude of devout Greeks. The incident that happened in Acts chapter 16 verse 16, where he cast out that spirit, Paul started demonstrating power. You know, because the Greeks are people who believe in power. See, they are scholars, they are very educated, and they believe in power. That is where we have Zeus and all these people coming from. They believe in power. But when Paul came as a representation of the kingdom of God, Paul started demonstrating some dimensions of power that was not common to them. So he was able to persuade them that Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God is superior to whatever they believe in. He and Silas. So a great multitude of the devoted Greeks and not a few of them, leading women, joined Paul and Silas. Power, what power can do. Move on. Verse 5. But the Jews who were not persuaded, becoming envious, took some of the evil men from the marketplace and gathering a mob, set all the city in uproar and attacked the house of Jason and sought to bring them out to the people. Verse 6. But when they did not find them, they dragged Jason and some brethren to the rulers of the city, crying out, these who have turned the world upside down have come here. Did you read that? Paul was sent to bear witness of the cross. And by the time he was done with the city, the description of what they did over there is that they turned the world upside down. Do you understand the concept to turn something upside down? To reverse it. To change it completely. Means that a pattern of life, a behavior, something that is happening in a place, these people came there, two people came there, and instantly there is an absolute 360 change. You believe in a... See, the reason why the church is where it is that We have not come to believe in the place of power in transformation. We think that when we talk, I'll come there. When we talk, it is all. When we leave, it is all. No. You have to turn a city outside and 360 change. It comes with demonstration of power. So God knows that before we can be able to impact a world, a place, with the values, with our worldview, with the ideologies we stand for, the patterns we are living, it is not only in what we do, but in able to represent them, power must back us. That's why in as much as people have abused power, God is still releasing power. In as much as people have misused power, God is still releasing power. Because you cannot represent his interest and show it forth without demonstration of power. I pray, in whatever capacity you find yourself, being it a student, being it a worker, wherever you find yourself, let it not be that you are, your representation will be inferior. I pray for you that wherever you enter, they will say that you have turned the place upside down. You have turned the place upside down. Now read that verse 7. Very powerful. Verse 7. Let's read the verse 7. The same place. Verse 7. Jason had harbored them, and these are all acting contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying, there is another king, Jesus. So, see, how can just saying something cause an uproar? So, they were there to declare Jesus as king. But what they did to declare him as a king, they know that, see, they said they have changed the rules of Caesar. It means that there is no practice in that area that is up to what they were. Nobody's respecting it anymore. The people have come down with some demonstration of power that whatever they said, the people begin to believe them. And they begin to represent it. I pray for you. See, you will not stand and tell somebody that fornication is not good. That will not be all. But you will demonstrate a power that will make the person be convinced. See, you demonstrate a power that let the person know that you can also win through righteousness. You don't need to be always corrupt. This is why sometimes some of you don't see lecturers, but you still make A's. And those who go see the lecturers, there are people who have done all kinds of things. They are yet to graduate. But you have graduated. You are trying to tell them that you present a principle, you believe it, and you have proven it with reality. So, the reason why God is still giving power is on the fact of representation. Without it, we cannot do a proper representation. Therefore, every true representation is achieved through demonstration of power. The first one is Moses and Pharaoh. When God sent Moses to Pharaoh as his representative, the only way he achieved it was a demonstration of power. He caught Pharaoh's attention when he did what was beyond. Number two, Elijah and the prophet of Baal. He said, you people, you are for Baal, me, I'm for God. Let's prove who is who. I'm here to represent God. You are representing Baal. Let's do our presentations. There cannot be any true representation without demonstration of power. Daniel in the city of Babylon, as a standing number one for God, did that by the proof of demonstration of power. Mighty, mighty demonstration of power. The only man who enters the den of a lion and came back alive. It's not a common thing. That is the case that now everybody will serve the God of Daniel. I said, the representation we need this time is that when something happens, people say, no, now I think this is the right way. We have to follow. It's not what you are saying. It is what is backing what you are saying. So on the principle of representation, God still gives power. On the principle of representation, witness, God still what? So the proof of your belief in Jesus Christ is in how well you represent him. That is why he gives you access to his power through the Holy Spirit. God will give you access to power. So don't think that God does not know why he's still giving power to people. He knows. That's why people are still getting anointed. And you will be more anointed. Number two, the proof of genuineness. Now, in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul was talking about the defense of apostleship. Now, what happened over there, that there were two scenarios that was happening in that very chapter. Number one, they were comparing Paul and Silas. So they were creating fan club in the church. Some say I'm for what? Paul. Others said I'm for. So Paul was trying to address the ground of apostleship. Not as what they do per se, but it is God who conferred it on them. Then the second place was seen in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 18. That there were certain people who have promoted themselves in the church, claiming to be apostles, teaching them the contrary thing. Then Paul said, when I come, I'm going to test their genuine promotion, whether it's of God, not what they are saying, but by the power they are going to demonstrate. Are you with me? Are you with me? So that word, for the kingdom of God is not of works, but it's of power, was because there were people who were claiming that they have been not exalted into the level of Paul, teaching contrary against what Paul said. It's not what you say, it is what you demonstrate. So I'll come and prove it, whether or not you are on the same level. Now, the proof that Jesus is the only way, the truth, and life, which is the reality of God's kingdom, is not in mere words, but in the power that backs that claim. Mark chapter 16, verse 20. There is a saying that he that alleges must what? Must prove. The reason why God still releases power is to prove the claims we make, that they are genuine. So when we say Jesus heals, it is on us to prove that he can heal. And that's why God still gives power. And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, and did what? Confirming the word through what? Accompanying what? Signs. He that alleges must prove. Every claim is refutable until it is proven beyond tangible manifestation and evidence, to the point that no argument can overturn them. Every claim is refutable. I think the lawyer is here, so if what I'm saying is not fact, for every claim is refutable until it's proven. So even though somebody can be arrested for a crime that you witness, the court will tell you that until the person is proven guilty in a competent or jurisdiction of court, the person is still innocent, irrespective of whatever you are saying. Every claim. So God knows that it doesn't matter what you say, it will still be a hearsay, it will still be nothing in the sight of people until there is an evidence that cannot argue or cannot go be, that goes beyond argument. The men will agree. It is on us to prove that the kingdom of God is not of works. It is on us. We can make all claims, we can say all things, but the evidence that the kingdom of God is not of works, but it is power, it is on us. That's why God still gives us power. Now let me give you some three examples that establish this truth of genuineness. Number one, when Moses claimed that God sent him to Pharaoh to let the people of Israel go, do you know that it took some, not 10 plagues, but a particular miracle that convinces the magicians that this is God? Let's read Exodus chapter 8, verse 16 to 19. The reason why many believers, see, what I'm talking about here is to help you. If you're not interested in power, you should be interested in power, because God has a reason to give power. The proof of this genuineness, that what you claim is true. So the Lord said to Moses, say to Aaron, stretch out your rod and strike the dust of the land so that it may become lies throughout all the land of Egypt. And they did so, for Aaron stretched out his hand with his rod and struck the dust of the earth, and it became lies on man and beast. All the dust of the land became lies. Wow. Egyptians went through a lot. But I don't know why Pharaoh was so stubborn. As you said. Then the magician said to Pharaoh, go back. I think you have jumped. I didn't finish with that. Verse 18. Now the magicians so worked with their enchantment to bring forth lies, but they could not. Yes, where the argument ended. He that ought, alleges must what? Must prove. The reason why God still gives power is that everything is all contendable. Everything can be contended. But there's a point where contention ends. You can't contend anymore. So the magicians, and let me tell you, in those days, Egypt was the highest level of civilization, with the highest practice of what? All kinds of black powers. They turn a rod to snake. Moses did, they did it. Do I do? Power versus power. But at this point, so let's continue. But they could not, so they were, their lies on men and beasts. Now look at verse 19. Now they're going to give counsel. Then the magician said to Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. But Pharaoh's heart grew hard, and he did not hate them. Just as the Lord has what? So now the magicians, those in charge of this, now said, no, Pharaoh, what Moses has come to tell, that God said you should release them, is true. Now we have accepted. Because what is happening right now is that we cannot contend what they are doing. The proof of genuineness, that the kingdom of God is not of words but power, is the reason why God still gives us power. You can't claim that God blesses and you'll be poor. He that alleges must prove. That's why you should be hungry for power, because the things you are saying, the things you have said, if you don't prove it, you don't know. Oh, it is recently that I found out that people are just waiting for you to do, and you see receipts. They'll tell the internet does not forget. Not everybody's interested in what you are saying, whether it's going to help them or not. They are just waiting to see how it will fail in your life. She said, yes, the power of God can do this. Okay. The time will come. But I pray for you. Oh, in the days of adversity, the power will manifest. Number two. Elijah and the people of Israel. 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 24. This one man against a nation. Elijah's case was serious. It's one man against a nation. They said the whole nation of Israel turned on to Baal, and they were worshipping Baal. Then Elijah went to for a context. What was the context? Then you call on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord, and the God who answers by fire, he is God. So all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. We claim that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. The one who alleges must prove that Jesus is indeed the only way. It is on us to prove it, that he is the light. It is on us to prove it, that there is no other life man can gain except through Jesus. If you read the preceding verses, you find out that Elijah proved it. Do you know why when fire came down to burn the sacrifice, they all bowed down to what? To worship. Because it was a proof, a contention of proof, that the kingdom of God is not of words by power. My last example is in the book of Acts. Maybe you say pastor is giving examples from Old Testament. Let's go to Acts. Acts chapter 4 verse 16. Now when the early church started their ministry work and started preaching Jesus, people start believing. The Holy Spirit started convincing people. And the scribes and the Pharisees and the leaders started to contend with them about the matter of Jesus being the Messiah. Then this incident happened. Peter was going to pray at the hour of prayer, met a man at the beautiful gate who was in expectancy and placed a demand on the power of God, and God manifested. The Bible said on that day 5,000 people gave their life. Now when the council of elders gathered, listen to what they said. Those who were trying to disprove the fact that Jesus was the Messiah. Now listen to what he said. He said, what shall we do to these men? For indeed, that a notable miracle has been done through them is evident to all who dwell in Jerusalem. And we cannot, I pray for you. May God give miracles that nobody, technology cannot deny it. Let me tell you, see, the kind of power we're going to walk in this generation. You see how technology has advanced itself. So has God also advanced the power we're going to walk in. Because now, there are many things that they are trying to do to disprove that these things are not true anymore. But I said, Acts chapter 4 verse 16 will happen again. Because he that alleges must what? Must prove it. We must prove that what God can do, no one can do it. See, some of the miracles will happen not because of it, but God wants to prove that he's still the mighty God. There are miracles that are going to be happening in our life. There are going to be demonstrations of power in our life. That is to tell people that this is an evidence that only God can do this. No technology can solve it. That is why the kind of cancer we are going to heal will be a complete healing. It's not going to be like, it's going to be instant. Somebody will come with a count of whatever number of virus, a hand will be laid on the person, and instantly everything will vanish. No, there's no, what is it? How do they call it? That treatment, they call it what? Chemo that can able to do that. Because chemo takes months. But I'm talking of a seconds. Oh, you don't believe it? I said that is the kind of power God is going to make us walk in, because he that alleges must prove. So the reason why God still gives power is because the genuineness of our claim must be what? Proof. So Paul said that for the kingdom of God is not in the words you are saying, but it's in the demonstration of God's power. Oh, Jesus. So the proof of our claim of the realities of the kingdom of God is not in what we say only, but the demonstration of the life of the kingdom, revealing the manifold wisdom of God. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 4 to 5, Paul said that when I came to you, and this is one of the things I want to let us know. Never go to people with the claim of the gospel without being ready to demonstrate power. All my life with my brother, when we went to schools to preach, from 2013 to 2019, there has not been any single school we went to, we preached and we left. No, it will not happen. Not blessed. We must pray for the sick. Sometimes Holy Ghost baptism. Anything God lays on our heart, we do it. Prophetic, we will give it to you. Do you know why? Because you cannot do. I learned this from Paul. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom. We could do that. We could persuade people with human wisdom to try to let them align with the word of God. But he said, what is it? But in the demonstration of the spirit and of what? Power. So when we go to people, we expect that God will what? Will perform. So we are just looking at people who place the man on the anointing. The moment you place the man, God will answer. Why? Because we must prove the genuineness of our claim. Everybody claims that their religion is this, their religion is that. What we must do something to prove it. So for that, God gives power. Do you know something? One act of power speaks louder than 1,000 words. You don't know. One act of power. Peter preached in the book of Acts chapter 2. And the Bible said 3,000 souls were won. The following day, he healed a cripple and 5,000. One healing. One act of power speaks 1,000 words. So sometimes, it's not everything that you need to talk. At some point, all you need to do is demonstrate power and walk away. You are done. Imagine you go to a very strong town. Let's say the place I come from, one of those border towns. You know that in some of the parts of where I come from, some part of those where I come from, but you know where I come from, right? Should I mention it? You want to put me on record? No, I'll not allow you. There are certain towns, they have a profession called witchcraft. They practice it. It's not like they say, I said. Witchcraft practice. That place, you don't go there to what? Try to preach. All you need to do is just go and leave one act of miracle, then walk away. Because these are the places that they can hold somebody's building and an iron sheet can catch fire. Have you heard of Tukpe? Are you scared of Tukpe? Shotgun. That's the meaning. It will fire you right now. Shotgun. All your wastes will be full of needles. Yes, that's demonstration of power. Just because of alcohol, they can just give you a demonstration right now. You drank more than him. Okay, you want to challenge me? He would give you shotgun. That's for just demonstration of it. So imagine higher matters. Then you go to such a place and you want to talk. One act that they cannot do. One act. That is why I mentioned last time about my father. How he's a man that God used. Because where he was coming from, he was the first to come out of the family. You don't come out of Nogogbo line and you don't walk in power. Hey, you'll be used for sacrifice to appease the gods for what you did. So some of us, where we are coming from, what we are alleging that is different from what they are believing must be proven by power. So as for you, maybe you don't have that, no problem. But as for me, I cannot do without power. My grandfather used to heal. Yeah, with the power of the devil. Serious sicknesses. Epilepsy, they'll clear it right now. Simple. It's simple for them. Then you go there and you do headache. You think you have done something. You are joking. See, that's why people like Bensini Dahosa. If you go to places like Nigeria, it is so hot over there. Because that place, there's no room for lukewarm. If you are hot, you are hot. If you are cold, because they are coming for you. Either allergies must move. So one act of miracle can speak 1,000 words or can do what 1,000 words cannot do. If we claim we know the truth, if we claim we are on the right path, if we claim we know the light or we are the light, then words are not enough to prove it. The church is losing grip because signs and wonders and things that are the evidence of God's power is going down. We can't face this world on the basis of what? Theories and argument. It's good. You don't argue better than Paul. But when it comes to demonstration of power, gosh, quickly, he'll do it for you. We must learn to combine both acts because in proving the genuineness of our claim is where power comes into play. That's why God still gives what? Power. Are you making claims about the kingdom of God? Have you ever made claims about the kingdom of God? Then you must prove it by power. That's why you can't preach. Now, evangelism is very difficult too. When was the last time you won a soul? Your hands are down. Pastor, don't go there. Let me close. Should Pastor go there? Should I tread that path? Eh? Oh, last time you... Okay. Osofo, we will organize evangelism at my hometown. You will go to the border of Lao area there. Please, how many of you would follow me? Are we saying nani ebeko? Hey. For what you have said, you are recruited into the crusade. I remember we went to Mankesim and the stories we're hearing about Mankesim in certain places. I said, wow. You don't want to go. You are afraid. You see, that's why you can't win a soul now, because you can't. Then if we start school mission, don't follow us, because now the students we have over there. Hallelujah. Are you with me? So the reason why God is still giving power to man is because the proof of our claim is very important. In as much as we are to represent him, we have to also prove it. So don't worry, God is still giving power because there are a lot of things to prove. There are a lot of things to what? Now, what I want to dwell very much, which is very important, is the matter of warfare. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 10 to 11. Why God still gives power is on the fact that there is war. Ephesians 6 verse 10 to 11. Why people are still being anointed and walking in power. It's because of this. Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of God's might. Put on the whole armor of what? God. That you may be able to stand against the wiles of what? The devil. Let me start. The first thing I want you to know is that when it comes to matters of jurisdiction and territory, two kingdoms cannot exist within the same territory. The moment you see two kingdoms claiming same territory, know that war has what? Been initiated. The moment you hear two kingdoms claiming that this place is mine, this place is mine, and it's the same place, war. So most of the war that has been fought is because a place, a jurisdiction is under contention. Having said that, the earth since the fall of man has been the territory of the devil. And we all know that. True of us. And his agents, by the help of man, has set up a system called world to rule this earth. The moment man fell, the devil took over with the help of man to rule. So the devil has enjoyed absolute control of matters concerning this earth with little interference of God. With little interference. The only interference has been when it has to do with the people of Israel. That one God has not spared him. But apart from Israel, all other places was under his total control. He was really enjoying his what? His jurisdiction. Until one day, a man made a bold statement in the book of Luke chapter 11 verse 20. Until one day, a certain man came and he made a bold statement in the book of Luke chapter 11 verse 20. He said, if by my finger, I am able to cast out demons, then the kingdom of God is what has come upon you. This is where everything changed. There was only one kingdom, kingdom of darkness. But here comes a declaration of a new kingdom. In fact, what even made it so serious was that this new kingdom decided that at the very gate of the old kingdom is where he's going to establish his headquarters. In the book of Matthew chapter 16 verse 18, listen to what the Bible said. And he said, Peter, upon you, I said, by this, so, and also I said to you, Peter, on this rock, I will build my church. And where? The gate of Hades shall not. So, the headquarters of this new kingdom was built at the very gate of the existing one. This is trying to provoke your enemy to the highest. Are you following? The matter of war. So now, there are two kingdoms that are on this earth in the matter of trying to what? Have jurisdiction of this earth. It is therefore in your best interest to know that declaring a stand for the kingdom of God by accepting Jesus as your personal savior makes you a number one target of the devil. So if you have a personal savior, I want to announce you that you have a personal enemy. Don't ever think that you need to go and offend the devil before he comes after you. Unless you have not read the book of 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 8. As long as you have declared yourself, as in, have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ? Okay, then you have a personal enemy. You have a personal enemy. Be sober. Be vigilant, because did he say my adversary? What adjective was you? But he said that, what? It is me, Peter, my adversary. Your adversary. Who is an adversary? An enemy. Is he what? The devil. So you are specific. So they don't say that, oh, the adversary is talking about Elder Abu. No. He said, your adversary, comma, definite article there, devil. So you have a savior called Jesus. You have a personal adversary. Personal. Allocated to his name is the devil. So if you see, there are many Christians who think that, oh, me, I didn't do anything. I didn't step on the devil. I have not done anything. So you don't know that the day you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, you have also declared the personal enemy. In this regard, I want to inform you today that there is no civilian believer, because civilians don't put on armor. Go and read it again. I said, on this regard, the fact that you have an adversary, it makes you, or I want to put it to you, that there is no civilian believer. Why? Ephesians chapter 6 verse 11. Civilians don't put on armor. Maybe I didn't read it. Can we read it? Let's read it. Put on the whole armor of God. Who are those who put on armor? Militants. Why? Because you have a, there's a kingdom of contention. That is war. The day you receive the kingdom of God, you have declared war. And for that matter, there is no civilian believer. There's no civilian Christian. Oh, some of you, God has to teach. That's what, God has to teach your finger to war and your hands for battle. You have to be taught. There is no civilian in the kingdom. We are all militants. Because civilians don't put on armor. Civilians don't go to war. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 3. Let's read that one. Let's read. For though we walk in the flesh, can we read together? Eh? We do not what? War. He said we do not smile or argue. Maybe if you change the version, you'll get a different word over there. But the version, there's no version will change the word war. Even though we do not walk in flesh, he said we do not war. So why did this mentality of civilian enter? Since when did they enter the church? So let me put it to you. We are all at war front. Nobody will fight your combat for you. You see, the time has come. We have to let people know that they should stop calling pastor and say, pastor, pray for me. That's why power was given to all of us. There's no civilian here. We are all at combat. Should I leave my combat and fight? Why would I do that? Because there's a mentality that there are civilian Christians and militant Christians. We are all recruited for war. Because we are all supposed to put on armor. Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war in the flesh. So we're from this mentality that these are the people who fight for us. And then, oh, Suffolk Mountains. You buy Milo. You buy all the buying. Let him go and fight the witches and wizards for you. It's a lie. You are going to face your own combat on the day of war. You better learn to fight. The reason why God is still giving power to everybody is because there is war. Since the death of John the Baptist. I don't know what you have been thinking. See, you think that when we say you should fast and pray, you are doing me good there. When we ask that we should come, we should take declarations that we are doing prayers. Then we are doing what I'll come there. Warfare declarations. Oh, the pastors are praying for us. You are not a civilian Christian. There is nothing like civilian Christian. We are all militants. You must accept that side of your life. That's why I gave you a confirmation that you have a personal adversary. And if you don't know his mission, John 10:10 will tell you. He came about what? Some of you is stealing you, but you can't see. Some of you is killing you, but you can't see it. Some of you things are getting destroyed. Your family is being destroyed. This is being destroyed. That is being destroyed. This is being destroyed. But I pray for you today. Wake up from that civilian mindset. Be militant for once. And that is the act of faith. That's what faith is, always a thing of fight. Fight the good fight of faith. Why? Because you are militant. Who must live a triumph life? So there are many civilian Christians in the today's church because the devil has been able to help them to think that it's pastors who go to war. Look at how many people who have through half an hour been awakened to war. Do you know that they would have still been embedded in those things that was killing them, destroying their life, destroying their marriage, businesses, family, until one day one man woke up and said, every dawn we will pray. Get up. Let all go to war. So he leads the battle, everybody fire. Can you see that they can't even count the testimonies? Because everybody is facing their own combat. And they are dealing with the devil. We all have personal, it's not my own. We are not fighting that just adversary. It's not Pastor Bless adversary. I said you. So the reason why God gave power. So now take me back to that scripture. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 10. Now listen to what he said. He said, finally be what? Be strong in the Lord and his what? Power. The reason why you have to have strength in God's power is because there is war. There is war. There is war. I pray for you that from today you will learn to fight your war. Take your stand. At this matter, I'm saying seriously. Many Christians are living the life where they think that, oh, that some of us are civilians. Our own is to come to church, pay our tithe, give offering. When there is issue, we go to pastor, he lay hands on us and pray for us. Everything will end. The way the enemy will continue to shoot the arrows at you. Because I'm facing my combat. The silly thing to do in battle is not to fight. Do you know that most times victims of war are those who don't fight? That's civilians are casualties of war. I don't know. So when we are calling and you said you not pray, we will be the casualty. Yes. That's why I have issues with people when we declare prayers and fastings. We call for, because the weapon we are using, warfare, prayer, and that is the sword of the spirit and the word of God. So when we call for prayer meeting, watch night and everything, and then we want to deal with things, and you dear, you said no, you're not going to do this, you will become casualty. Because there is no civilian Christian. We are all militants. We are all recruited into the army. Because of the war at hand, God still gives power. Now the war is in twofold. Let's look at it quickly. In the matter of war, it's about taking territory or defending one. And both requires power to get them done. The first one is taking territories. When we go after the devil and what he has taken, we go after the devil's what? Empire with what he has taken. It will include captives of people and the control by territory. And that's what we read in the book of Luke chapter 10. Luke 11, sorry, verse. Yeah, 21. Let's go to 21. Watch. 21. When a strong man fully armed, this is we being offensive. And this is where evangelism, soul winning, and all these things come from. Through intercession. So when we take a stand to intercede for a place, we are actually advancing the kingdom of God by attacking a territory and taking it. When a strong man fully armed guard his own place, his goods are in peace. But watch who can take over. But when a stronger. So imagine you are going after an altar that has been there for over 1,000 years. Being serviced with human blood and all kinds of things. Then you see a small girl, you think that it's a small girl. You don't know that spirits are ageless. Spirits are hot, ageless. So that spirit can find expression in that 10 years girl. Then you see that are some people by profession of teaching or health, they have become victims of all kinds of segments because they are dealing with. Then you go there and you want to be offensive against such a person. And then you don't have, you are not strong in the power of the Lord. Hey. You remember what happened to the sons of Sceva? Yours will be less. Their own will be less. The way the devil will beat you, it will be like John Cena versus, I don't know who else I can give. The way the devil will beat you up, a stronger man is the one who can take over the things of the strong. You see, if you want to rescue people in your family, your friends, and other people who you see the devil is taking over, you need to be stronger. This is why we do Lenten fast and prayers. You see, sometimes God can place on you. Wait, I don't know if I've shared this over. I said that I've not gone to a school to preach with less than 3 days fasting and prayers. I'll not do it. It's not because no, but we need to prepare enough. Sometimes you come there, God will prompt you ahead of time. Not that you wait for this, he will prompt you. Some of you are not answering to that prompting. That's where the danger is. Wake up, be praying every dawn. Be praying at this time to this time. You don't know. that is preparing to be stronger than what is coming. But you don't do it. And you see that when a stronger man, so what is coming when it is stronger than you? Whatever peace you have will be taken from you. So on the matter of offensive, we go there in the might of God and we take territories. The reason why God still gives power because we need to be stronger than the strong. How can you face an altar that is over 1,000 years if you're not stronger than it? Abam Krum was last time I was talking about when I went to pray the miracle thing. I remember the Sunday of that. Oh, we remember that Abam Krum story. Solomon. The Sunday, the longest deliverance I've ever done in my life. Hey, my home family rough. Not knowing she's the queen mother of the gods over there. And she attends the church. I didn't know. And you know, you see, the devil can be so comforting can be very comfortable in a territory until there is fire. So she has been coming to church, nothing happens. Then that day, suffer. You know, we there everywhere we go, Jesus must what? Manifest. Then I went to trigger the atmosphere. Shit. Now the guys were helping with the deliverance. Virtue went out of them. That church closed around, I think, 12 thereabout. We were on that girl to 7 p.m. If I tried this, this will happen. Yeah, if I was out of all my tricks. Abam Krum, I'll never forget. My longest deliverance service I've ever done in my life. From about 1 to 7. But God prevailed. God prevailed. So that Abam Krum was going in. I was on a 30-day fast and prayer. Me, I didn't know what I was going to face. Because I was told that it was a youth service. No, no, it is a whole town crusade. So if I had prepared for youth service, a stronger man. Those of you who want to go on the field to minister, this is my advice for you. Be prepared. Because you don't know what you're going to meet. Out of the experience, you reserve it. A stronger man. That is why God, see, because the devil is very strong. Especially when you enter his territory, don't try. He is very, see, as long as he has a legal ground, he will hold his ground. So if you are going offensive and you don't prepare and you want to attack, oh, it's either you will be dealt with or you will deal with him. That's why many Christians become casualties. Number two. So, before we can save people from the clutches of the enemy, we must be very prepared, must be mighty in his power. Number two, defending your territory. This has to do with our rights and privileges that the devil comes after. A legal attack he launches against us to deny us what is rightfully ours and the privileges we have in Christ. The right to prosper, the right to health, the right to be blessed, lifted, every grace of God available to you, it will take divine power to secure it. If you think it's not true, let's read the book of 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 3. Listen to what he said. 2 Peter. See how he guaranteed what God has given us. See, how does he say? And he's what? Divine what? Oh, church, together. And he's what? Divine what? Did what? Has given to us. Without divine power, you have nothing. Without divine power, you have what? Nothing. The security of all that he has given to us pertaining to life and godliness is secured in his divine power. Joke with power. The reason why God still gives power is because without the power, whatever he wants to give us cannot be secured. Because when the devil gives you a child, the devil will come after that child. You see, it is not over until it's over. When I heard the story of what has happened at Tech, and I was asking myself, should it be my child? some wicked spirit from somewhere has entered a young man to do the unimaginable. There is not over. See, you have to. That's why I said, take stand, stand. You have to defend. We have a lot to defend. We have a lot to defend. A child you have nurtured for years. The Bible says you shall see your great grandchildren. Then somebody, whatever power or whatever thing has come over the person, takes the life of a final year student about to graduate. Oh Lord Jesus, Mary. We must take a stand. And that is only guaranteed by power. We must learn to defend what belongs to us. All right. The Bible says children are kept from God. There are many things God is going to give us. Even our health, God has given it to us. It will take power to defend it. So he said, take a stand. Stand. He said, find thy brethren, be strong in the Lord. And the power. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand. I pray that you stand. Say, his divine power has given us all things. Take the power out. There is nothing you have. So, the Bible said, riches, glory, honor, blessing, power. You can mention all of them. Do you know why we are not seeing it in many of us our lives? Do you know why? Because we have not secured the power that is necessary to make it effective. So if there is when I fasted and prayed, then the breakthrough was already there. You didn't build the power. You didn't the power capacity needed to drive it was not there. That's what when the question came. See, sometimes you can pray because of the legalities surrounding the whole thing. It can take 2 years to pray it through. The answers or manifestation of prayers is depending on what you are dealing with. If you are dealing with petitioner prayers, that one, they are good to go. But when it becomes conflict, spiritual conflict, matters of battle, some people can pray 5 years. Because the altar that has surrounded the situation, it needs another altar that can be able to secure it. Because it's a matter of altar versus altar. And sometimes the prayers you are praying to secure an altar. A level of anointing to deal with the matter. So God gives power so that the matter of warfare can be dealt with. God cannot deny you power because he knows you are at war. He knows. God will never deny you access to power because he knows that there is a point where you have to prove that what you claim is true. And God will never deny you power because we are representing him. And to be able to do so, we must have some leverage of power to represent him. It's my prayer for you today. You see, be hungry for power. Whether you like it or not, the devil is coming after you. Oh, don't be scared. I'm telling you the truth. If he gets the chance today, he can kill you. Kill you. Oh. He's looking for a brake failure to eliminate you. You every day use car. You go and come. The devil is looking for one simple way. But by the power of God, we will keep him silent. We will defend our territory. We will defend our territory. He will not have space. So the Bible says, resist the devil. Well, how do you resist? It's power. There cannot be resistance without power. If I'm pushing this door and you are preventing me from entering, it requires that the power at which you are stopping me is greater than my power. The Bible submits to God and resist the devil. That is done by power. I pray for you. You see, some of you, where God is taking you, you need power to resist the devil. Any encroachment the enemy wants to encroach your life today, may God give you power to resist him. So why God gives power and he continues to give power to me stands on these three things, and they are very necessary. Now, as you live here, I want you to go with the mindset that you can do nothing in terms of representing God if you are not anointed. You can do nothing to prove your claim if you are not anointed. You can do nothing in taking up warfare. See, you will fail at war if you are not anointed. So today, may God release anointing on you. I said, as long as you speak in tongues, the three things that I mentioned, you are a conduit for the manifestation of God's power. I declare, may God release his power on you. See, there is a dimension I'm praying for all of us that will enter, that we will begin to emit power wherever we will go. When you contact us, you feel power. Hey, may we be a thorn in the flesh of the devil and his agents. I declare that any territory that God has given to us, it will be defended with our full force in the name of Jesus. Remember, as I said, you have a personal health adversary. The reason I'm hitting this area very well is because the believer is always going into this, is it what I call it, a sleep mood. Don't wait for things to happen before you pray. I don't know what I'm saying, if you understand me. Don't wait for the enemy to come before you wake up to him. Because before he starts attacking, he has secured his grounds. Some of you, if certain things, by the time you finish dealing with the thing and the damage it has done to you. Many people are unconscious of this fact, that the enemy will not only come when he has no legal grounds. Last time I was trying to talk to one of my brothers, very spiritual guy, in the university. He said, they're done in banking. And he's telling me, so I can't even pray. I said, be careful, oh. I'm warning you, oh. In 10 years' time, when you have made all the money, by that time, the devil has also comfortably sown enough seeds and everything and grounds. When he starts striking you, my phone will be awful. Because I've already warned you ahead. Don't let the devil deceive you and tell you that he's quiet. See, the Bible said, when they said peace, peace, suddenly there comes destruction upon them. I think it's in Thessalonians, find it for me. So when they said peace, peace. See, this moment of your peace, know that he's cooking something serious. Something so serious. And if you don't know, he takes you on our way. By the time we rescue you, the damage that has done to you. See, some of you, by the time you are delivered, it is even better we didn't deliver you. Because the things that you have lost in that battle. But if you are taking your stand to defend your territory, you wouldn't have not even had access in the first place. Some loss are huge. Some loss are, even though you may recover, but it's not an easy thing. For when they say peace, peace and safety, I read him, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. This is the life of many civilian Christians. Oh, peace, Holy Mary, full of grace. Go to church. Pastor is keeping long. 10 minutes, 20 minutes, you're out of church. Oh, this 5 minutes, 2 minutes, you're out of church. Services that go beyond 2-3 hours is ungodly service. But we grew up in a place where we go to church at 9, go back home at 7 p.m. They already have, so you are comfortable to watch series over, but you are not comfortable to. So you say, oh, peace, nothing is happening. Business is going well. Children, they are going well. Everything is going well. Then one day, boom, the bomb is released. And that is where you realize there's alpha hour. That is where you know that people who are working, that's where you know that people who claim that they are busy and they are working can make time to pray. Let not the devil force you into that situation. Because sometimes those prayers, they are prayed out of fear and desperation. They don't work. But when you have prepared enough, even though the bomb will go off, the Bible said one build on the rock, one build on the sand. Rain came, the wind came, the storm came, but the rock stood. I'm not saying that they are not going to be a day of adversity. I'm saying that will you survive? The survivor is in the power accumulated to resist. So stand. Be strong in the power of his might. Shall we rise to our feet? Now, I want you to pray this prayer. I want everybody to rise to your feet. Before we start looking at the concept of another measure, another 1,000, which I mean the levels of the anointing, I want us to pray this prayer. See, church, we need power. You see, power is very necessary. See, God can, you can command power to the point that just your name is enough for witches and wizards to tremble. I want you to lift up your voice and say, Lord, by virtue of me being a conduit for power, I pray today, let power be released. At any point of demand, let power be released. At my workplace, if there is demand for power, let it be released. At my workplace, if there is demand for power, let it be released. Let power be released. Power that will make a representation of your kingdom a reality. Power. Power. Let not any warfare I am engaging overtake me. But give me power to resist. Give me power to take my stand. Give me power to take over territories. The demonstration of God's power is not when people fall under the anointing only. It is when change with 10 cities and the world upside down. Oh, that's the power I pray for. And you shall receive power because we have to represent him. I said, you shall receive power because there must be a claim of the genuineness of your claim. It must be manifested. You shall receive power because we are at war. We are at war. Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. But the weapons of our warfare are mighty. Oh, man, the Sayaka. Therefore, brethren, finally be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Mandino Komra Sindaka. Yes, Lord. We shall receive power because there are territories to take. The kingdom of God must be advanced. Therefore, power will be released. Tremendous power, able to cause change. Kande meku valasia. Kombrande nemoko mosata. Thank you, Lord.
Glad you stayed. I believe you were blessed. See you some other time. Bye for now. Lord.